And we are live.
Here we are. There, I did it this time. It switched on its own.
Hey. It is twice as professional. And
yeah, twice as switchy.
Yeah, I was going to go somewhere with that. And then I was like, I don't know what else it could be twice as.
Yeah,
like, twice as. Maybe it's okay. Isn't that the lesson from that like Barbie movie? Is like, you it's enough to just be you.
Yeah, exactly. Knuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's switch enough.
Yeah. Maybe there's some like wargaming wisdom that could be drawn out of that.
Every once in a while, I get a green flash on my screen from this webcam.
Oh.
I always wonder, is it eventually just going to kick the bucket? Because it's been doing it for years. Just like a really random green flash.
I mean, it could be scanning you for some like nefarious purpose.
Yeah, it's true. I did spend like $16 on this webcam, so.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah, they said exactly.
That's the thing. You can pay like $200 for something, you'll get a year out of it. You pay something like $7 from like AliExpress or something, it'll just keep going.
Yep.
Like,
well, we have made it to episode 32 of the Bad Internet Offenders podcast, which we call Biffcast sometimes.
Yeah.
And we call all the listeners Biff Leavers now.
Oh, okay. We have an official thing. Have they started?
Yeah.
Are we at the point of like parasocial relationship where they will do crimes for us, or do we still need to like work on it a little bit, right?
And will someone design us I'm a Biff Leaver shirt? That's the real question.
At some point, we could have some merch to cover. Mm-hmm. I don't know what our expenses are. I guess it's none.
Zero expenses right now.
Yeah. Keep it running lean.
Yeah.
If you see
speaking of time. Yeah, go for it.
Any special effects? It's just like one of us holding up like a robot and making noises.
Yes. Claymation.
It's not even claymation.
Just moving the clay.
Yeah. Moving in a stuttering way. Like.
Yeah. Well, perfect. That's the magic right there.
Absolutely.
I finished. I did it. I got all the episodes done. All caught up to 31. So now they're all edited. Yeah, they're cleaned up. They're all scheduled to be uploaded into YouTube throughout the week. They'll finish off on the last day of the month. And I've tossed everything over to Matthew from Bedroom Battlefields, and he's going to have them proceeding as well on the podcast front. And then,
all right. That's going to make people hear like things they never even realized was there.
Yeah. All the reruns actually have views too, oddly enough. Except for the Christmas one. Not so much on the Christmas one.
I've heard one of the things somebody was talking about like running a podcast for something, and they were saying that you always want like back catalog, because like people will listen to an episode and realize that it's either they're really into it or it's good enough like while you do the dishes, and that means you have to have like old episodes to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why you should always have them like available.
Yeah, and they're better now too, so that's great.
Yeah. I'd like to think the quality has improved by at least like 8%, maybe 2.
8, yeah.
Yeah. Eight is pushing it. Like that implies like responsibilities and stuff. Like people.
Well, modern technology really helped to push it to 8%.
Yeah. There's some free gains to be had.
Yeah.
There.
We've advanced a lot since 2024.
Yeah, this is true.
How's the little champ?
Oh, he's doing good. He has not gone to have his teeth yoinked yet, but he has been zooming around on medication. It's had the opposite effect of. So for the past like couple of years, we've always joked that he behaves like an old man because he's very kind of, he doesn't really want to play. He just wants to like hang out. But now this week he has been like acting like a complete clown and like rolling around and getting into trouble. So I think he feels a lot better. We were kind of relieved because we thought he was going to get like, he's impossible to give like pills.
Oh yeah.
But we were lucky. We got like liquid pain meds for him for this week until the antibiotics could like pick up. So yeah. But he does need to have two of his teeth come out. Maybe all they didn't know. Here's the crazy thing. We had gone when we had got him very shortly after the first like checkup we did with him, and they were like, "Well, his teeth are bad, and I guess some cats have like chronically bad teeth, like it'll just be they will lose their teeth, essentially.
It's like me.
It's like a genetic. It is a genetic thing for people, too. Some human or some people just have bad teeth.
Yeah.
So they had given us, like, a price range for it. And this is, like, a suburban neighborhood for, like, I guess, like, people on Epstein's Island or something. Because they were quoting, like, $4,000 for, like, all of his teeth to come out and stuff. And we were like, okay. Like, it doesn't matter what we think is the right thing. We just can't do that. So we just kept an eye on him and made sure, you know, he looked comfortable and stuff. And then we went to this vet, which we've gone to before, and they're, you know, it's like a little country, small town vet. They're obviously priced for like the kind of people who live here. And they were like, and they were very like hesitant with giving us, because he was like, well, you know, normally when they go under, we like to give them an IV with fluids, but if you don't want to pay for that. And I'm standing and looking at the screen, I realized he's like hitching around like $20. I was like, just do the thing, but like, what's the worst?
$20?
Yeah, yeah. And she was like, well, you know, a lot of people don't want to pay for that, and we understand, yada yada. I was like, I have $20. But yeah, so the whole cost, if he needs to have all of his teeth come out, like the worst case scenario, which the others are quoted like $3,000 or $4,000 for, is $430 or something.
That's amazing.
All of it. Yeah. Now that's obviously like there's a little bit extra because like sedation and like the cleaning and like there's a little extra, but like, yeah, it was like a tenth of the cost. Well, you could, yeah, his general demeanor has not improved. Or it has improved, but it's a happy.
Yes, use his teeth while he's got them. So,
yeah, he's like, I don't get this chance again. So it is wartime. But yeah, so he's doing good. He's doing phenomenal. Thank you so much to everybody who like threw in the bin to help him.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yes, get his teeth sorted out. We were really worried because last time we had a cat that didn't eat. Like that was it. Like she was, put down like the following night because it was like a kidney failure. And like with cats, like they're so good at hiding if they're sick. So by the time you notice it, it could be like really, really bad. So we were just lucky with him that it was a little easier, and it turned out it was just his teeth. Like he was just not eating because, you know, his mouth sucked ass.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you notice your cat acting weird, like go get that shit checked out. And don't go to Grand Rapids to get it done, I guess. Go somewhere else.
Yes.
Go someplace where people have like rusty trucks on their lawns, because then the prices will be a little more modest.
Yeah, exactly. Them folks don't want to pay. It's just an animal.
Yeah.
So well, the vets are happy to have any business.
Yeah, there's a big part of that. Like some of the people out here, they will just let them die. And the other half that do care can't afford it. So yeah, they have to like, price them like.
It's garbage bag in the woods time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. Also, he doesn't have a heart murmur anymore. He did when he was young. So yeah, that was another thing where they had said like, oh, that could be like a cause of like a bunch of different things. And they were like, we would like to do all these tests. It's like, okay, that's probably a good idea. Like, I don't want my cat to have heart problems. And then they gave me a list of what all those things would cost. And it was like $3,000. And I was like, we're just going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a ton of like animal hospitals in my neighborhood. And I have to assume it's a very lucrative business.
Oh, well, I can tell you that it's apparently like,
yes,
like big business. And I was like, so we were just like, I was always like worrying about it. It was like, you know, you have that thing in the back of your head. Like, what if like, you know, like if he suddenly has like a heart problem, you can't really like save him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly.
They checked his heart and I was like, nope, it's perfect.
Yay.
So now I'm not saying that he didn't have a heart murmur at the time. Like he probably did and it just went away. Because they did say at the time that sometimes it will go away. It's just like a weird little thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad in hindsight I didn't pay $3,000 to like have it checked out.
Then we'll just touch in with chat, which is noised. Noised is our chat. He just finished dishes on time and he saw that Lance is so baked on meds, he thinks he's Godzilla.
That is true. He probably does like Godzilla. Yep. I think that's aspirational to cats.
Yeah. It is living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking over buildings, chewing on things.
Yeah. Well, Godzilla's a good segue in, because we were going to just chat about movies, I guess. Wargamer sort of inspiring movies. And I was kind of thinking, how many did you end up picking?
Like zero. I'm just going to make it up off the top of my head. I'm like, I know enough movies. I'll just, whatever I feel talking about. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I guess I just settled on like one good one, and then the rest just, like, I can just think of a bunch, you know, that all seem good.
We'll just kind of go. Besides, like, the ones I have were, like, the most obvious bullshit, so we'll start with, like, the obvious ones, and then we'll kind of, like, see if we can veer ourselves into some more obscure things. Plus, it's a chance to talk about the official 5x6 movies and TV shows, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The official on the inspiration list.
Which means official inspiration. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so, the Henry Cavill one.
I mean, I like to think that, but I would want him to like play a robot that has no emotion, so it would be completely pointless, like casting him for it. Like it's just like a metal bin with eyes and then Cavill's like voice inside.
Yeah. Just a stony Superman stare.
Yeah. I mean, Carl Urban could pull off like playing the jaw of Judge Dredd. He did a great job.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You know, like he was just emoting with like his chin.
It's a great movie. There's another one. Like I just can think of all these movies that'd be great for wargaming.
Yeah. Or like skirmish game or something. Yeah. That movie is so fantastic because it's like it's a sign of like you can do the simplest possible thing. Like it's literally just these two people are stuck in a house and have to fight everybody. That's it. That is literally the end. It just I mean, it helps the cinematography. Like, it's beautiful in a grotesque kind of way, and, like, it's tense and it's exciting, but, like, it's such a simple movie, and it just works so fantastically well. You don't have to overdo it. There's no real, like, big plot twist or anything. Like, at the end, they go to apprehend Big Mama, and that's what happens. Like, that's it. It's nothing to it. Yeah.
Jason is also here. So, all you folks who are observing silently and also talking in chat, definitely throw in your own movies so they can judge you on them.
News mentioned The Ray. I think that's a Japanese movie, isn't it? Ray. Or is that I'm gonna look it up to make sure I'm not getting it. Indonesian. Yeah, that's like an insane it's a very similar kind of I'm not gonna look it up too much because it's not fun to sit here and look shit up while we're talking. But I would not be surprised if Dredd was like inspired by it or the other way around. But I think The Raid is earlier.
Is The Raid the one that Assault on Precinct 13 was based on?
I think the other way, because the original Assault on Precinct 13 is like pretty old. The Raid is from like 2000s. Although I don't know if that version is a remake either. But it's the same sort of thing where they're like assaulting a like gang like stronghold building essentially. Assault on Precinct 13 is like the exact same, but it's the reverse where they're under siege and like being attacked. That movie is crazy too. I hadn't watched it in like a long time. I was rewatching. It was like the little girl that like shoots the ice cream guy. It's that movie is fucked up, man.
I actually haven't seen it.
It is well worth it. Probably not with kids. It's like peak like 70s like cop exploitation. It's just like a police station's under siege and now they gotta fight.
I always heard it was great. It just like I never seen it in a rental store or you know it just wasn't the right time
nowadays
to rent it.
It's just like on it might be on streaming somewhere. There was a remake that probably was somewhere. Okay but not worth watching like a second time.
You gotta watch the original just like Dawn of the Dead.
So the
Dawn Dead was great,
way better. But I did kind of like the remake. I just never wanted to watch it again. So it's one of those like it was okay for like one go. You know what I mean? But yeah, like would I see it again? Nah, probably not. Although I've only watched the original like twice, so I guess it was 50% as good statistically. I mean that's actually a good because like Siege. This is one of those things that I feel always is like a convention game. People put on a Siege game. It's like, you know, the Alamo or something else. But yeah, like you could do it like, you know, like Assault on Precinct 13 is just like police with limited weapons and then a bunch of gangs with also kind of limited weapons. But you could easily make that. You could make like a 5 parsecs like Assault on Precinct 13 where like you have your characters or just a squad of characters like hold up in some place. The trick is to not make it bugs, so it's not just Starship Troopers.
Exactly.
Just make it like literally anything. You got to get like, I think to be interesting on a table, you'd have to give like, so you can like make some defenses or something, like barricade some areas. You can maybe you have like, you put 5 like cards down or something for areas, and 3 of them are booby trapped. Like maybe 2 of them are traps. 1 is like an alarm, and 2 of them are empty, and the other side has to like guess where they want to come from.
And random events can always happen where the enemy found a hole in your defenses or a new route that you didn't know of. They're coming in through the ceiling or whatever.
Yeah, suddenly you have to like go deal with that, or you have to, or you might have like allies on the inside, but they are kind of unreliable. So if you leave them on their own, they might like run off or Yeah, that would be really cool. That would be great. Maybe I'll do that. I still need to do a Patreon scenario for this month. So maybe that would be
Assault on Station 31.
Oh, yeah, that works pretty well. Have you ever seen the movie Dog Soldiers? It's an English werewolf.
That's another one I've always heard of, but I haven't watched it.
Oh,
I heard it's
amazing.
Really good.
Yes, that is amazing. It's one of the best werewolf movies. It is exceptionally British, but it's basically the same sort of thing. It's just a siege movie. British soldiers versus werewolves. It's very funny. But also like quite tense. Like it's just really well done. It's like low budget, but the budget, what little budget they have, they spend it on like guns and werewolf costumes. So those are look pretty good. And other than that, it's just guys like talking to each other and shooting at like out the windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's another perfect. I think horror, like werewolves and stuff, can be difficult to do because like stereotypically, like werewolves don't die to bullets. That's kind of hard to do in a, you can do something in a game where you can like scare them off for a while or something.
Yeah. Keep or the regeneration.
Yeah. Like you can like knock them down or maybe you can chase them off or something, but then they'll come back somewhere else. You just have to like survive until like morning. Or why would werewolves be bothered by morning? I guess they just get a hangover and go home, I guess.
Well, that's when they change back to people. They're like, oh, what am I doing here?
That's true. Maybe you can't shoot them then. So, there was that. What is the vampire movie that was set in like, was it set in Canada or Alaska or something?
Oh, 30 Days a Night, Alaska.
Yeah. That's a great idea as well.
No, God.
Yeah, that movie was like, I'm ridiculous. Not usually like affected by movies, but that one was a little unsettling to me. It was very goofy, but.
Yeah.
Obviously, like definitely zombies, it's been like way overdone, but it's also easy to do if you just want to put on like a quick game. Just pile like, a bunch of dudes on the table and they're zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dawn of the Dead is like the classic because that's literally a siege movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I guess in the third one, I mean, at some point, like all of them are basically sieges because you got to, like, the characters end up somewhere and then the zombies go there too.
Yeah, you're always getting swarmed everywhere you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of old Star Trek episodes were kind of sieges where they're like defending the Enterprise from like some alien that's like sneaking around. Like a lot of classic Doctor Who is like, or even new Doctor Who, where you go to a location and now there's aliens that are trying to eat everybody. So
always hungry aliens. Someone's got to feed these people, you know?
Yeah, like I feel like there's some trouble you could avoid by just like putting out some snacks or something.
Yeah, exactly. Be preemptive.
But yeah, I think if it's like a more military thing, I think obviously you gotta like maybe like the full on like actual siege works better as opposed to like characters versus aliens. I've always wanted to do a game that was, or just a scenario, not a game, but a scenario that was basically like ripping off like Half-Life.
Okay.
Like the original Half-Life game, because you had like the scientists who are trying to survive and do something. Mm-hmm. You have the alien invaders. You have like the government troops that are coming to kill everybody and clean it up. So you get this like three-way battle. It would be a perfect like club game or something. Like each player gets one faction, and you have the GM running it. You know, maybe I think even those games are like two different alien factions. You can complicate it like as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have like two different aliens, but they're invading from like opposite sides of the table. Then you have the humans like stuck in the middle and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, which would be really cool if you had like where people could like, if your characters are close enough, you can like shout to them or wave at them, and you might be able to communicate. So you strike an alliance or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's
kind of like StarCraft that way. Like sometimes the aliens are on your side, and sometimes they're trying to kill you.
Yeah. Sometimes everyone's just having a go at it. I guess there was a. Did I see either there was or is gonna be a StarCraft like miniatures game? I thought it was.
Yeah.
Some big dudes, like oversized.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't remember which studio was doing it.
My head. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited.
I saw some models. They looked really cool, but they were like very, very big.
So, yeah.
I don't know if they're 28 plus or whatever they are. So the first like regular movie I put on my list was just Band of Brothers, which is not a movie, so I've already like failed the assignment. But for like historical gaming, it's like there's like two series. It's either Sharp or like Band of Brothers that gets like people interested in like wargaming, I think. Because you have all the stuff. You have a lot of cool battles that are very kind of detailed, and they feel very like miniature-ish. You know, it's like small handfuls of guys fighting along streets. You have like one or two tanks, and it feels very like personal and stuff. And you know, it's all like very, you don't really need to understand that much about stuff. Like you have some handfuls of Americans, a handful of Germans, and they're fighting over a town. So it's very easy to kind of like get an idea of what's going on and what it all means.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that kind of continue, you know, because you follow the same characters and some of them die or get sent home or bad things happen to them. Like you follow them. So you get to that kind of, I remember Nuts from 2 Hour War Games like specifically referenced Band of Brothers as like, that was what convinced him to do a World War II game.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he had like a thing. I think it's only in the original rule book, maybe, but he was talking about how he didn't want to do one because like World War II gamers are whiny nerds will bitch endlessly if you get the stats or a machine gun wrong.
Yeah.
But then he saw Band of Brothers and it left an impression because it was actually about like people and stuff. And, you know, so that was so.
Mm-hmm.
And like every Napoleonic gamer seems to say that they got into it because of the Sharp movies, like Sharp's Rifles.
Which apparently are on YouTube and you could just watch them.
Oh, shit. I'll have to.
Like legit on YouTube, like by the people who own Sharp.
Yeah, there's so much shit that is, I don't want to like shill for Google, but like there's a lot of stuff that's like for real on YouTube. Like all of, I think all of Farscape is on YouTube now.
Oh, nice.
You just like watch all of it. Yeah. Like classic Doctor Who, the BBC has been uploading like, basically it looks like every episode. They kind of like do them just out of order, but yeah. Like,
okay.
Tons of it. they've even been doing like animation of, because there's a bunch of old stories that were lost, like the tapes were deleted and they have been because the audio always existed because people would record the audio off the air or something.
Yeah.
So every episode existed in audio, but some of them had the actual broadcast. So they've been doing like animated episodes with the original audio on, which is cool. Like it's, you know, that's it's not cool. Like super fantastic animation, but you would be watching like a black and white grainy ass show from like the 60s. So yeah, there's so much shit on YouTube. Like honestly, like I'm just watching YouTube more than I watch any other kind of TV. Like if I'm not watching a game, I'm
cool. Yeah,
you know. Because there's just like Time Team. Did you guys have that in Canada? The archaeology show. That shit is.
Can you say that? Like I don't really watch TV, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. It's called Time Team. It ran for like a while, I guess. I'd never seen it before. It's basically like a British archaeology show where they would go to like different locations and just dig for like Roman helmets and clay pottery or whatever.
Okay,
they were kind of talking about it, like, yeah, it's very like if you just want to like have something on while the family is like chilling out or something, it's perfect. It's called Time Team. If you look for it on YouTube, you'll find it. It's one of those shows where like once you've seen an episode, like they're all exactly the same.
Okay,
but it's just very cozy, and you can like pretend it's educational because it's archaeology. Oh shit, we have Hambut in the catch up with chat there.
Yeah, that's right. We'll start with Noised. It wants to, building on the concept of adventure movie, it's pretty easy to pick up major scenes of a movie and create scenarios, and then he lists a few. So for Predator, game one, assault the camp. Game two, escape while hunted. Game three, big fight with the baddie with a few survivors. And scene four is get to the chopper.
Yeah. No, actually Predator is a great example because the first battle in the movie is just like humans like shooting each other up. You know, like that's a straight up. So you could almost, You probably would have to not set it in like the jungle with like some characters that are obviously like Arnie and stuff, because then people will get it.
Yeah.
but if you put, you could do something similar, like the first is like a commando raid on like, you know, maybe you do it like you're raiding like a drug cartel and it's like special forces. It's very Tom Clancy. And then like the second mission, you're trying to like get back to your evac helicopters and suddenly like the aliens land or something. You know, so that would be really cool. Just like throw people for a loop. But yeah, Predator is a great pick for it. But yeah, Noose is absolutely right. Like because movie scenes have to be kind of like contained and boxed, they're like perfect for picking out. In it's like in Lord of the Rings when they did the original books and boxes where all the scenarios were just a scene from the movies. So there's one scenario that was like the hobbits versus the Nazgul like on the Weathertop, and one scenario is like the fight with the troll, and like it's perfect.
Absolutely. Then we have Baron Hambut. What did I miss? We talked about 3 days of the Condor yet. The evil Euro assassin was a wargamer, my inspiration.
I remember, didn't he play Napoleonic games? It has been phenomenally long since I have since, but I vaguely remember that. Maybe I'm mixing up with
the evil Euro assassin. They have to be a Napoleonic gamer.
Yeah. He's just doing what he was. Yeah. And Hamburg knows time team is great.
Yeah.
That is literally our dinner time watch because we are terrible and eat in the living room. But yeah, we'll watch time team while eating our food. Because nice. It's nice enough that if there's nothing to talk about, you can just watch and have a good time. And if you do, you're just missing some guy digging in the dirt. So you and because it's originally broadcast TV, they recap every 15 minutes or so because there would probably been a commercial break or something. So they
give you a preview of what's going to happen next, and then they go to the commercial and they come back and tell you what just happened, and then they show what's going to happen.
But with the commercials cut out because it's condensed on YouTube, so you just get a recap once in a while. So if you weren't paying attention because you're eating your pork chop, you're right there.
That always drove me crazy about reality TV. It's why are you telling me what's going to happen? And then you come back and then you told me what did happen already.
I was watching a stand-up comedian who was joking that the one thing that does need recaps like that and doesn't have them is the news. Because the news will just assume you've been watching 24/7 all week when something happens. Mm-hmm. So if you tune in on Thursday for something that started Monday, you'll just have no clue what's going on.
Yep. It's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me a little recap. Remind me, who are these people? What is in Africa? Explain these things to me.
I need to know.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest one I was thinking of when you asked me last night is, all right, there's two movies and they have almost the same name. There's Battle for Los Angeles, I think, and Battle Los Angeles.
Hmm.
And there's one that was made by the Army, the American Army.
Oh,
and it's what if aliens invaded?
Yeah.
This is what we'd have to do. And the whole movie is just kind of like that. I guess it's kind of similar to Dog Soldiers, where it's just people and they're just going through all these scenarios.
Yeah. Or kind of Cloverfield, where it's what if this thing happened? And it's just kind of some random assholes in the middle of it.
And about Battle Los Angeles, I'm pretty sure it was Battle Los Angeles, is that it was actual tactics. So they're employing what the Army would actually do, not what Hollywood thinks the Army would do.
Yeah. So there's a little more weight to it.
Which would be perfect for wargaming.
Well, I was just thinking, because you could do, literally just take any aliens you got sitting around. You got some Tyranids, you got some more, Coralon from, Void or something, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever you got, old Starship Troopers bugs, and then put them against your, 28mm, U.S. Marines or something. You got a game out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you could do something that would... I think there's also a certain, vibe to fighting over, recognizable terrain. Obviously, you have to build it or buy it or something, but, if you can have... the one mission I remember out of all of, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is... I think it's in the second game, where you have to defend, a burger restaurant from, the Russians attacking, and it's the stupidest shit in the universe, but it is so, etched in, because everyone has been to, a Burger King. You know what is gonna be in there, so you can, imagine, yes, you're, in the back where the freezer is, but it's also a machine gun position. It's stupid, but there's a certain, there's a weight to it that you don't get seeing a movie that said you're fighting on the pyramids or something, unless you've been there. A recognizable location, a gas station or something.
Or your average two-story house.
Yeah.
Everything kind of feels familiar, even if it's not your house,
Right. Whereas, if you set up your typical Normandy World War II table, unless you've been there and lived there, that they're real houses, but it doesn't feel the same way, I think, compared to something you're just familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, something like that. You could do it almost anything. All you need is an urban location and an army, whatever minis you got. You could set it in World War II if that's the army you got. Mm-hmm. Starship Troopers bugs versus World War II British or something, or Canadians.
Yeah, exactly.
So just make a thing out of it.
I'd actually make a pretty good board game. Don't Look Back. Have you heard of that?
Oh,
it's a horror game, and it's you're in a house basically, and there's a yard around it, and there's you randomize the baddie, I think, and then your average people have to survive. So you could do wargaming. You could have zombies, werewolves, whatever's going to happen, aliens.
Yeah. Have some random things to it. The thing with anything that's characters trapped in location is that inevitably one of them will do something psychotic or will betray the whole group. So So you got to encourage people to, because somebody will like get the idea of like, well, if I push that dude into the other room, I can run my ass over there.
Yeah. There is a, I don't know if I have it here. It's like a, it's a haunted house game. And you all play characters and you're going through and you're investigating this house for some reason.
Oh,
and like it's like a random tile game. So you're laying down tiles and stuff. And then like something flips and one of the people is now the bad guy.
Yes, yes, yes. I have such a prejudice against that game because the guy who taught the game to me multiple times would like cheat like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
So like if one of the other players were the haunt, he would like explain it poorly and like we wouldn't get to like read the rules properly. And so suddenly he just won. So yeah, I found out later the game is actually okay. But I had
it was a pretty good game. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's
I only ever played it once, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we played a couple of times. It's definitely one where like you can get into situations where you just have no chance of winning because it turns out whatever you need to do is like. Oh, do you want to pop up? Humboldt has a.
Yeah.
You once ruled the realms with dice and a sword, painted goblins till tea, then your minis were stored. You grew up, got a job, bought a flat, wore a tie, swapped dragons for deadlines. Your brushes went dry. Now the dishes are done and the kids are in bed. You climb to the attic to raise the undead. Crack open the paints that you swore you'd outgrown. The smell of acrylic, it feels like your home. There's grey in your beard, even more on your head, but you're splashing some colour on plastic and lead. So welcome back, General. What took you so long? Your hobby's still here. It's the place you belong. The Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Find it at bedroombattlefields.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we talk about Hamlet, I just want to say that's one of those perfect games, though, where someone can be the asshole, and that is actually how the game should be. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, you have to kind of improvise a little bit because you don't know that you're the asshole until it happens.
Yeah, but you can still be an asshole even if there's a bad guy. Or you're not the bad guy.
You could make yeah, that's it right. Bad. You could do it as a with like Cylons and like Battlestar Galactica because there were some of the I don't remember if some of the characters didn't know there were Cylons. I think that was the case.
Ooh, it's like you can pitch it to a Modiphius. You want to write the next follow-up module. One of them will be a synth. You don't have a secret synth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we got Hambutt here. I've always fancied wargaming Pride and Prejudice. Nice. Set in the ballroom with miniatures have actions like piercing quip and acid rejoinder. Yeah. Minis are taken out when their social hit points hit zero.
I mean, commas. Yeah, like conversation is just attack and defense. I guess it's like Pride Hammer. That sounds like it's something else. So, I mean, you know, I wanna support folks. The problem is that Prejudice Hammer also sounds bad. That sounds like it's about playing like the skinhead gang. So
yeah, yeah,
I'd
exactly.
rather do the Pride Hammer then. Yeah, maybe we need to workshop the title, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think that could have. We've always talked about, you know, people always muse on like why are all because a miniatures game doesn't have to be a war game, but like they all kind of are, or they tend to be. Yeah, exactly. Like, why couldn't just because you have miniatures doesn't mean you have to be like fighting dudes, you know? So
that's true. It's ballroom blitz. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You need like it's like the Warriors, the movie The Warriors, but for dancing.
Yeah.
So you have different like dance gangs, and you have to like get your guys to like throw down in the right locations and stuff, and depending on their formations, maybe there's something there.
Oh yeah, yeah. The social cliques. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could work pretty well.
And Ledanto knew which game it was. Betrayal at House on the Hill. Yeah.
That is the one. So the first movie, I'll sort of intersperse this with stuff from the five parsecs list. The first movie on there is actually not that all that game it will name it, but it's Blade Runner. And I wrote at the time that sometimes it feels like all futuristic cities draw inspiration from this film. The perpetual rain and gloom is a perfect fit for a dramatic back alley gun battle between rival freelancers. Okay, so I guess it is gameable. But like the problem with the movie in and of itself is that a lot of it is like investigating, which is hard to do in like on a gaming table. Usually you want to do that like in between or with like dice rolls. But, you know, like, sort of generic cyberpunk vibe that's, like, so ingrained now that it's almost, like, become standard. Like, you know, it's raining, it's dark, there's neon lights everywhere. Blade Runner is potentially gameable.
I never remember enough about Blade Runner. It's like one of those, if I think about it, I think about like staying up like way too late in the 90s and falling asleep at the TV.
Because it would have that
sound escape. Yeah.
It would be on some random like channel at like 10, but it would start at 11 at night. So you have to sit through. And then there's like 12 different versions. Everyone is mad about like if the version they like is the right one. And depending on whether the dude is a robot or not. You know, so that's a whole different. I still maintain that I like it better if he's not a robot. I know that everyone has like agreed that he's definitely a robot. I don't like it. So you can all like send me emails and complain that I'm bad at Blade Runner. But that's how I feel. But yeah, like how about put a comedy? You want to blow it up real quick? But...
Yeah. So you got films that give you the atmosphere and feel for a game. And then I guess you get films that you want to reproduce the battle of. So
with Blade Runner, I don't know that I would like want to do like something that is very specific, because there's really only like he only fights like one guy, and that's basically hand to hand anyway. Like it's really like a chase scene, right? It's not really a battle. But like the vibe of Blade Runner, or you know, you jazz it up and you say, okay, like this is like the stupid Hollywood version, so it's like a team of like detectives versus a team of androids. And maybe you have a thing where like there are extra characters and the androids could be disguised as some of them, and you have to figure it out before they can position themselves or kill the target or something. Like you could do something, but it would be like, it's like when they do a video game based on a movie, and in the movie the hero fights like three guys, and then in the video game you have to gun down like all of Los Angeles basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole different. But yeah, so second on the list, which is actually set in the same universe, like officially, I think, is the film Soldier, which is with what's his face that was in every movie for a while and wasn't. Kurt Russell, right?
Kurt Russell's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he got like thrown in the bin, literally. He's like on a garbage planet.
Oh, I did see that one.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a really fun movie. I put on there, good look at a corporate or government super soldier program and how such a character could find themselves roaming the galaxy, which is obviously like very parsexy. But the visual of like super soldiers fighting like the next generation of super soldiers with traps and stuff in on like a garbage planet is actually like really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it stuck with me for sure. It's something you think about, even though I only watched it when it came out. It still, you know, it sits in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Like, again, it doesn't have to be more than just one scenario you do for a thing. Just give them Warhammer stats. Like, it's like five Space Marines versus 30 Imperial Guard. But the guardsman gets put up some traps, and then you just fill the table with bullshit. Like, raid your little brother's or your kid's, like, Matchbox car collection stuff.
Actually, what it is it's one Firstborn Marine versus five Primaris. That's a one-to-one scale there.
Yeah. Then you finally get revenge for the putting like Primaris dudes in the game, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's perfect. But yeah, great movie anyway. Like so I don't know if they have ever specifically said it, but there's like in some of the like computer displays you see in the movie, there's references to things from Blade Runner. So it's sort of maybe it's just a homage, but it sort of fits the vibe of, you know, they feel, and they both have kind of themes of like technology replacing humans, what it means to be human, stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the third one is the TV show Firefly, which is funny because like literally everybody likens 5 Parsecs to Firefly for obvious reasons. And the funny thing is I was never like that big of a Firefly fan. Like I liked it a normal amount, like the same way that I like mayonnaise a normal amount.
Yeah.
But I was never like, you know. But what I wrote at the time was, most space adventure games owe a debt to the show. The worn-out look, the premise of spaceships as freedom in the face of an overbearing government fits 5 Parsecs perfectly. So, which remains true. But there's been plenty of Firefly gaming. There was like an RPG. There was a board game. There's been other stuff. I don't know if it comes up as much for minis, because again, I mean, the space western look, I don't know if that really caught on as much as it should have.
It's true.
So
it's not as big.
No, but like, yeah, Firefly underpins so much of like modern science fiction that I feel like it's just kind of taken for granted. Like it's as big as the other sci-fi movie thing that I'm hesitant to mention. But you know,
just one. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Because it's overshadows like everything else. Jason mentioned speaking of garbage planet is Hull, human occupied landfill.
Oh, okay.
Of course, Jason knows what that is. It was a like parody role playing game. I don't know who originally did it, but there was a version published by White Wolf, and it was so like bizarre and offensive that they had to create a separate game label to publish it. Which was about, the idea was that it was about like weird, bizarre characters that were stuck on a literal garbage planet and trying to survive. But it's kind of like an anti-game. Like you almost can't play it. It's just weird. All the pages are like handwritten and like the explanations will just veer off into bizarre diatribes. Like one of the characters is like a pervy monk whose special ability is summoning like 2d6 children. Like there's a reason.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It gets like, and then another character is just like Elvis, who's like on drugs and eating donuts, and it's one of those things that there was a reason that that didn't get like a glossy like big box release. It's wild. You might be able to.
Oh, this isn't picking up the license on that one.
No, the license of that has been sitting for a hot minute. Yeah, it was a wild thing. But yes, it did take place on a garbage planet. It is true.
And then Noyes is saying his take on investigation is something like this. There's a number of clues, objectives you can get on in a game. The next game is balanced in the investigator's favor or the opposition by clues gathered.
That is a good idea. There was that, was it called In the Emperor's Name? It's like a Warhammer Inquisition game where they do it like game by game where I think it is if the investigators win, they get to play like in scenario that'll further the mission. If they lose, then they have to play like a stand-up fight essentially. And they have to win that in order to get back to like doing investigations.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's like scenario by scenario. I actually like newest idea better that it depends on like, cause then you can have like two groups, like two that are both trying to get either the same clues or different clues, depending on how quirky you want to be with it.
Yeah. Asymmetrical is always nice that way.
Yeah, or it could even be like we each have like there's two clues that we can both get, and then we each have two that we can get, but you can only like stop me from getting or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Depending, you can fuck like it's one of those things you can like clutter up as much as you want. have we touched on Zulu? No. But that's the other one, like Sharp Rifles. That like if you talk to somebody who plays colonial games, there's like a 75% chance that they do that because they watch the movie Zulu.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's like a classic. Plus it also has the quality of like being on late night TV often enough that you may have seen it.
Yep.
the third of the list, this may actually not be gameable, but it's a personal favorite of mine is Trigun, the anime.
Mm-hmm.
At the time I wrote, the manic insanity, outlandish gangs, and people just trying to make it is a perfect image of a world in French space. And I think at the time I was the envisioning French space as being much more anarchic and like bizarre than maybe it turned out to be, because I think the setting has kind of like stabilized itself a little bit over the years.
Yeah,
but yeah, Trigun was this like it's very much like Wild West in space. In fact, I think it's more Wild West than Firefly. It's like you have like giant railroads that connect things, but then like East Town is just like weirdos with like cowboy hats, and like there's gangs roaming the land and lawmen, but they're some of them are like 12 feet tall and some of them are robots and like, and none of it makes sense. It doesn't have to, it's just weird characters. It reminds me a lot of when you read about like what old British minis gaming was like with like Laser Burn and stuff like that, where it's just like people would build a weird character and they weren't trying to like come up with a deep explanation. It's just like, I build a dude with like 12 feet tall, like robot legs and a sniper rifle. So now that's the dude that's in the scenario, right?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of that like back to basics vibe that I've talked a little bit about. But yeah, so Trigun is maybe not that gameable in and of itself, but the vibe of like weird gangs in the future on a dusty like piss hole planet is very gameable. You know, actually space cowboys might be something somebody could do.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
you're right.
There was a spaceship race too, wasn't there, in Trigon?
There was a spaceship and there was a bunch of stuff, but I do not remember how that all worked. It's tied into like the whole plot, which is very sort of heart gut-wrenching, because it's like a colony ship and some things happen and yada yada yada. But yeah, space travel was definitely a thing. Like, they didn't start on that planet, and it's not Earth in the future. It's like a planet they went to.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of became like a lawless, like, piss hole full of weirdos. but also, like, it's also has people who like try to do the right things and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just really interesting. But yeah, I highly recommend Trigon. There's a new version, but it's stupid and bad. You shouldn't watch that one. Just watch the original one. Yeah, it's one of those where they changed too much. I don't like
it.
The last on my list then was, I have to say it, Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Oh.
Yes. Clone Wars was a weird thing. I've said before that I'm only like a medium Star Wars fan. Obviously, Star Wars is like phenomenally gameable. But Clone Wars was actually what, like, because originally I was like inclined not to like it because I hate anything that has like smart ass teenagers in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And the dialogue of that show is like very much like intended to be smart ass and stuff, and very cutting when the obviously like super skilled superhero character is also really clever. But then I was watching it with the kids, and then I ended up like really liking it, and I didn't want to. But there's lots of big battles in that, and they all have this quality where they all like they have all, every battle. None of the battles matter because you all know where it ends, but they all like have a gimmick to them. So like one is like in on like some like mountaintop, and one side is like rappelling up the mountain or something, or it takes place in a swamp and there's like exploding like gas bubbles or something. Like every battle has a gimmick to it that makes it, because everyone has seen like robots and dudes shoot each other like a trillion times. Nobody cares.
Yeah
So in order to make it interesting, every battle has to have something that is happening that's visually interesting you can kind of look at and stuff, which I think is really good. Just in general, even if you aren't doing Clone Wars, like have one recognizable thing. Like it's a sci-fi thing, right? It's like you're on the jungle planet or the desert planet or the planet with the exploding rocks or something.
You hate that, like, planet.
Yeah, that's a pretty shitty one to be adventuring on. But yeah, just anything like that, where you just add some sort of flavor to the table or to your terrain. I guess that's more a sci-fi thing. You can overdo it. You don't want it to be like 17 different special rules just for like a stand-up battle, but just have one thing, even if it's just a terrain. Like this time we use a bunch of jungle terrain because we haven't done that in a long time. Then it's cool. Gives you a vibe, right? So, but if you have a bunch of, I was one to get a bunch of like the clone trooper models. But when it was Wizards of the Coast doing the random ones, it was hard to like get unless you got like a lot on eBay. And then, I don't know, now, like, it's been long enough that maybe they're collectible and people aren't. You can buy, like, the Legion stuff, and that looks fine, but they're a little spendy. So.
They're a little big, too, because they're 35s.
Yeah, they're kind of chunky, and my terrain is already, like, half the time I'm using terrain that's already too small for, like, Warhams, so
yeah,
it's kind of, it's, like, pushes it a little bit.
Imperial Assault was the best scale.
Yeah, those for all were, the,
Yeah,
but that's also not really that practically if you want to get like a bunch of dudes. Like if you look
at exactly
some of those old like the who was it that did West End Games did the original Star Wars miniatures game where they have like entire platoons and wanted to put like 50 stormtroopers on the table. Like that's a good chunk of money. That's why I wanted to get like a load of just like cheap guys, like a lot on eBay, but I think we're past that. No, not really. Do you want to check on the
well we got Dune question mark.
Yeah. Dune is pretty wargameable. You got some like straight up fights. There's some like not Dune minis ranges out there. You can I know in 15 millimeter there's one from like Rebel minis that's very obviously supposed to be Fremen. And for Sadakar, you can just use like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Dudes in raincoats, I guess. If you're trying to get the original movie vibes.
Yeah.
You gotta represent the classics.
Ledanta says, and giant light bulbs, which maybe is a Trigon reference.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's, yeah, that's, yeah. It's just part of the vibe. News says Fist of the North Star. Overpowered freaks in the dusty wastelands. Yeah, that's see, you could almost do mix that in as well. Now see, now we got talking. Now I want to like make a setting. So
well, it's we'll just like the next episode will just be we're gonna design a space cowboy game and that's
Bizarre space it's done cowboys. Now. Yeah. Lasers and I don't know.
Giant light bulbs.
Lasers and giant light bulbs. Battle for the light bulbs. If you had a giant light bulb, you should be well motivated to defend it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're fragile. Someone shoots your light bulb.
Yeah, out, that's why you have to have like the guy with the robot arm, so he can just like punch people out. So yeah, that's kind of so that was the end of that list. But that's also like a pretty decent. So it was actually I was gonna just grab the list out of desperation, but that turned out to be pretty good. How about you saying Watership Down?
the game of childhood heartbreak?
Yeah. I'm actually glad. Like, I liked the law when I read it, but I was, like, a little older when I read it. So it was cool, but not as, like, traumatic. I think the movie is what most people talk about when they talk about being traumatized by the problem with any animal stuff is, because I've sometimes thought, oh, it would be super awesome to do, like, backyards, like, animals, like, battling each other. But it's hard to get, like, animal models. Like, sometimes you can get, like, a bag of, like, plastic toys. Maybe that's fine. But it's actually, like, trickier to get, like, farm animals. And a lot of times if you get them, they're, like, it doesn't matter that they're out of scale, I guess, but you know, like,
oh, I think Pillage actually is taking care of that now, so they're having like packs, like farm packs coming out,
yeah, because they need them for like objectives. You can get some sheep going, so stuff like that. So you can do both like backyards, like animal battles, and like Scottish, like sheep shagging or whatever they do up there,
yeah,
which is fine for miniatures. It you need to know the facing of the sheep in order to,
do your
business,
yeah. Flanking maneuvers only.
Yeah. Like you can't go from the front. What was I gonna say? They always have at the bookstores. If it's one of the nicer bookstores where you go to, that has like a nice toy section. They always have these like little animal like figurines. They're technically still toys, but they're like nicer and they look like an actual animal.
They called Schleiber or something.
Yeah, they're probably like hand painted by like German grandmas or something. Yeah. But yeah, they're obviously like I imagine they're like for rich kids or something. But they look like real like scale models of animals. But they're kind of expensive to get for like gaming, and I don't know that they actually fit with anything. They are very like they feel pretty large. Like they would be pretty big next to like even a Space Marine.
Scale creep hasn't caught up yet.
No, maybe they're just ahead of the curve. They know it's going to end at like 39mm and. Waiting for everybody else to get there. The movie I was going to mention, which is a movie I have a complicated relationship with, is Braveheart. Because on one hand, it's like the worst movie in the world, but on the other hand, it's also like the best movie in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, it's so stupid, but it's also like really good. But it is, I mean, the problem there is that it's just like medieval battles, so like you can just grab whatever lion rampant or something, just have a go at it. I think you're gonna end up in a situation, unless you were like even just trying to deliberately reproduce like battles from because the battles in the film are all like historical battles, except opposite of how they were in history or completely inaccurate. So maybe people would be mad if you put on like the Battle of Stirling Bridge and there's no bridge. Yeah, like maybe people would be mad about it, or maybe you could do it as a deliberate homage. So, but yeah, that was kind of bad inclusion because it's just like a medieval battle. And
Braveheart does have a special place though for me because when I was a teenager, that's the only movie our friend group could agree on watching, which was like a big mix of boys and girls. The girls liked, say, the romance, the guys liked the blood and guts. So, and I was like, it's got a little bit of everything, so we can just toss it together. Yeah. So, I've watched it like a million times.
Humbert says, we don't have many miniatures games based on Dallas or Dynasty. That's true. Well, yeah. I mean, be the change you want to see, I think, is the answer to that one.
Yeah. And because Lon Jennings was late, you need to suggest a movie ASAP. That should be your next comment.
Another movie. Or he needs to suggest one.
Yeah, he needs to.
Oh, yeah. Post a movie that's gameable. Or she. You can be anything you want. Post a sure. movie that's gameable or inspirational. Mm-hmm. You know what really did? Even though people kind of backed on it, I sort of liked it, but it was also like just the visual style. I really want to have miniatures like it. Is the Valerian and the Thousand Planets or whatever it's called?
Oh yeah, still haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's really good. A lot of people were because it's sort of like a semi. It's actually not a bad adaptation of the specific story it's about, although they changed a bunch of stuff. But it's like it gets the vibes. I think a lot of people didn't like the characters because they didn't. The characters didn't, it didn't bother me, but the characters don't feel like the people they are in the comic book. So it's one of those things. If you haven't read the comics, that wouldn't bother you, but you might be surprised reading them later how different they are. And I think some of the sort of like humanist vibes of the comics didn't really come through as much. But it's a fun film, and it has this very kind of like bright, colorful, like weird sci-fi vibe that's really fun. I would love to see in miniatures as opposed to like the endless like gritty like boring bullshit.
Yeah exactly. There's a noise says this kind of obscure one, The Blood of Heroes. I don't know that. Yeah. I haven't watched it entirely, but I have an exploration, violent sports encounters. Exploration and violent sports encounters. All right, so we explore, then we got a dance off.
What was that old what's called Rollerball film where it was like a weird ball game, roller skate race, and then they kill each other. I guess you can turn that into a game. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Blood of Heroes. That does not ring a bell.
And then Lon Jennings has thrown down The Road, which is great.
Yeah, that's definitely like a different vibe from a Trigun, but it does kind of fit in the, you know, the dusty travel kind of thing.
More cannibalism and whatnot.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic is interesting because the inspirations are like, there's kind of like two, because there's a sort of like gritty, realistic post-apocalyptic vibe, which is a very specific vibe. And then there's like the goofy, like mutants with three heads, kind of like Fallout sort of thing. And the two don't necessarily mix that well. Like it could be really cool to have either, but you kind of like want to... He says, sorry, didn't know the rules. No, you're fine. Literally any movie that is potentially... We're just shooting the breeze, really. So any movie that is potentially like gaming relevant or could inspire you to do something with the miniatures is totally fine. I've mentioned some bad examples. So, but yeah, with post-apocalyptic, because you almost have to like agree in advance. Like if you and me... both like bought a bunch of minis and agreed we're gonna play a post-apocalyptic game, we might end up with like armies that don't look the same at all because you go out and buy a bunch of like mutants and robots and shit, and I do like realistic, like, you know, post-collapse like U.S. army or something. Like maybe it'll still work, but
Hambutt brings in Spartacus, of course.
Yeah But that again, that has the same sort of issue with Braveheart, I guess. Like I mean, with Spartacus, you can, I think that was historically based as well. I think more people probably know the movie though than knows like the history behind it, so that probably worked pretty well. I feel like that's a convention game where you go to like a club or a convention and somebody's putting on like a big battle, like, you know, the gladiators versus the Romans or whatever, and it's kind
of those are pretty well covered. Gangs of Rome actually sounds pretty good.
Oh yeah you can get which some
is,
of that
it's not even Spartacus, but yeah,
I think there was one that was supposed to be like Roman patrols, like on the wall in like Scotland or whatever. That could be cool. You go out.
Oh yeah,
you can Adrian's Wall. You can mix in as much fantasy as you want if you wanted to, but even just on its own, like it's kind of like Roman Vietnam, right? You have to go out into like misty, weird villages, and they all look at you weird, and you don't know who's gonna have a knife, I guess.
A couple people like the idea of Running Man that Ludanto suggested.
Actually, I think if you had it, that's almost also like a multiplayer thing, but if you have multiple participants, you have to like survive. So maybe you have like AI control, like hunter squads or robots or whatever, but you also have like each player has a character and you have to like find weapons and stuff and you have to survive or lead the kill bots to like your friends or not friends, but as it turns out, not your friends.
They were friends.
Would be super cool. Plus it's a good like, especially if you go with the movie vibes, because it looks like really ridiculous because it's meant to be a TV show. So you could get away with some outrageous like paint jobs and stuff. That would be pretty awesome.
And Hambutt gets to live eternally in shame with his suggestion of Dallas.
Well, you know, now I'm warming up to it, though. Now I'm coming around to, like, maybe we should have Dallas. That's bullshit. Why don't we have miniatures of that? Plus some of those, like, or in that case, you have to do some of those, like, Mexican sitcoms that, like, have gone on, like, 1,000 episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've gone so long that at some point they have had, like, a vampire subplot, and now it's moved past that. Like, you could do literally anything.
I got miniatures that I don't know what to game with. Because I got like a lot of like modern fighter jets, you know, like can be F5s, F14s, you know,
maybe
F22s. Like, what is the game that they go with? Why do I have these miniatures?
Oh, there's a couple, but I don't think jet fighter like gaming is real. Most of the time when I see people doing like air games is like World War II, you know, dogfighting and stuff. I think Check Your Six has a jet age like supplement or something. That one's pretty popular, but yeah, it's one of those things that I don't see a lot of. I think people just paint them. I'm sure like somebody will angrily like correct us.
Hopefully.
Jennings says, please do. Jennings says, was Hunger Games mentioned? No, but that's an excellent pick as well. I guess that's kind of like, it's funny because if you put on a game that's like set up to work like Hunger Games, I think now everyone would assume that it's like PUBG based or those like video games, which is fine. Like, but the idea is very miniaturist, like, right? Like, you have each of your characters, you have to move around, you can make alliances or like fight each other. There are weapons to be found, and every now and again, like, the battlefield like shrinks by, you know, like 1d6 inches. Mm-hmm. You could do it from like the ends of the table, so you roll a d6, and that's how more. Like the kill line moves. If your character stands up, they just get vaporized. and you can have, you know, like different threats and hazards that pop up, or you can find like drops for, you pick a random location on the table, like a package drops, and whoever can get there. So yeah, Hunger Games actually makes for like a fantastic. But like I said, I think if you put that on, people are going to assume it's like a PUBG scenario.
Which, I mean, like, there's a million different Titanfall miniatures games now, so why not some PUBG? Fortnite or whatever ones.
I mean, a lot would just depend on the style, because like Fortnite, that's always very like colorful and exaggerated, whereas for Hunger Games, I was blanking on the name for a second, I think if you just have miniatures that look more subdued and more realistic, then that would kind of give you the whatever vibe like you want to get out of it. It also depends on like what are like the hazards and things that like pop up in the game. But yeah, that's actually a great idea. Again, it's one of those things too, where it depends. If you're just putting on a scenario, like for your club or for your friends, or even just like to play solo, like literal, it doesn't matter how like derivative it is, like just do something that's fun. Sometimes I think being derivative can actually be an advantage there, because everyone immediately knows like what the vibe is and what is happening. And that just makes it, you know, you don't have to get people up to speed.
Yeah, exactly.
On things like, if you've read or watched, everyone has read or watched The Hunger Games, either because they checked it out themselves, they have a daughter who was interested, or their wife dragged them along, or whatever. Like, I thought it was pretty okay. I like the movie.
I actually haven't seen any. I don't know. I know the references of Hunger Games, for sure, because it's, you know, it's one of those pop culture, but I don't actually know, seen it.
So. Yeah, there are certain, sometimes there are movies like that for me, where, like, I feel like I already know all the things without having seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I would say the first one is worth watching. After that, it's kind of like, proceed if you like loved the first one. Otherwise, the first one is pretty fun. It's a nice little, it almost like worked better, I think, as like a standalone thing. People's like teenage daughters will send me hate mail for being ignorant about it. But I think it just worked better as a single movie that kind of like ends, like, you can imagine what's happened to the characters. We don't need to like get five more movies like figuring it out.
An anime ending, not a Hollywood ending.
Yeah, just let it end, you know. Good grief. I was seeing earlier that I guess they're like doing another Evangelion show or movie or something. Like, the world literally ended. Like, stop fucking with it. Like, that was the whole point. I guess that's like one thing that's like completely unplayable. I guess that would have been the flip side episode, is like movies that you just couldn't game. even though they feel like they should, because Evangelion is all about like robots fighting like giant monsters, but then it's actually about like having crippling anxiety and depression and like weird metaphors, or maybe it's not. And it is possibly about how anime fans are all like sex offenders. So
yeah.
Not really that. I mean, the man didn't tell any lies, but not really that gameable, you know, like you don't really want to like have your players bummed out. It's like conventions get contentious enough.
Jurassic Park. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Oh, Jurassic Park would be amazing. Anything with dinosaurs, really. But like the basic principle, like if you want to jazz it up for a business game and you want to have like some dudes with guns and you want to have the dinosaurs and stuff, you have the scientists, and you could even make it a thing where you have like different spots, like you have governments from around the world want to secure the dinosaurs for like, I don't know, weapon programs. It's always weapons. So your objectives are like scientists, you have to go like pick up from where they're hiding, and then they'll move with you while you're escorting them. But if you like let go of them or whatever, they just run off to like go hide. And then you have to, so you have to like go grab as many scientists as you can while preventing them and your own squad from being eaten by dinosaurs. That would be amazing. Like on a huge table piled up with like as many plastic dinos as you can get.
That'd be bananas.
Yeah. Like jungle terrain and stuff. Yeah, that would be amazing. Somebody make that happen. I will go to your city and play that game.
Jurassic Park with King Kong and Godzilla, says Hamlet.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're basically, you can go, like, you can do it with, like, giant monsters as well. There's a couple of people who've, like, taken their shot at, like, giant monster movie gaming, but I feel like that's something that also is, like, mostly a, like, convention club kind of thing, because it kind of only works if you have, like, four or five monsters beating up on each other.
Yeah.
So, because if you only have two, then it's just two. It's hard to make an interesting game with two characters because you're always just trading shots, you know?
Yeah. Though you could do something like Skull Island kind of themed. So, you know, there's like a lot of different monsters on the island. You're a monster and you got to gather up your own monster posse and stake out your own territory and, you know.
Yeah. Well, because in some of those old movies, you kind of did have like monster squads because you have like the evil monsters from a different part of space, and you have the good monsters who are like from our part of space, and they have to like battle each other and stuff. So yeah, that's totally viable. But yeah, that's a pretty good. I guess we're kind of coming up on our time.
Yeah, your tablet is running out.
No, battery's doing pretty well, but I do have some things I need to do. I need to get some secret things stuff done. No. Only some of them are secret. I just have a meeting today about like the next big thing, but
yeah, can't and that big thing is definitely not the teaser.
Oh, well, that's another big thing
in the 5 parsecs group.
Yeah, it is not.
Hi, Chris Birch.
Yes. So all I can say, and I'm is as far as I know.
Well, we should say first that Chris Birch posted a picture of some spaceships.
Yes,
and talked about 5 parsecs group. Yeah.
Yes.
So he said that.
Yes, so that is, so yes, I know that a spaceship thing is going to happen. There will be miniatures involved. I do not 100% know what that means quite yet. I've heard different things, and I don't want to, like, get people, so there are some miniatures out there, and I know that the idea I had for what it was going to be and the idea that he has are basically just the same idea. We had the exact same idea. So, as I was saying on the Discord, if you sit down and think about what does spaceships in 5 parsecs mean, there's only two things that come to mind. Either it means spaceships as part of your 5 parsecs campaign, or it means spaceship like squadron commander kind of game. That's the only two that come to mind, and it's one of those two. So, but that is all I can say for now, because that is all that exists. I know how I want to do it. I know what they want, and it's almost exactly the same kind of thing, and it'll happen. But it will not happen quickly. Let's put it that way. There is a standalone 5 Leagues game that will happen first.
Ah, yes.
But yes, everyone, and then people can finally stop complaining about how there's no spaceship rules from Nordic Weasel. Point them in that direction and say, there is now. Go do that. Yeah. That's the sort of official teaser. It was kind of funny because I was trying very hard to not mention anything that even remotely sounded like suggesting nothing. And then he posted the teaser because I guess he's
excited. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I guess it's all right. Like, we talk regularly, but we don't talk like on a daily basis. So I always like know, you know, the bits and bobs of what's going on over there. But there is a different license that I think will surprise a lot of people when they see what it is. And it's sort of an interesting little like side game we get to do as part of a bigger project for them. So,
oh, nice. So yeah, there's like a large part and you get one little chunk of it.
Well, yeah. Well, I get like the entirety of one part, and then there's a different part it'll also be that is that I won't have anything to do with, but I'll help like set it up. So it's like, it's
okay, there. Nice, nice.
Yeah, it's like super cryptic, but it'll make sense when people see what it is. A little bit of a responsibility as well, actually. But
oh no, are they making you middle management?
No, no. Luckily, I just have to do it, but it has to fit in like very. There's it's probably the one with like the it's the second most like do's and don'ts because it has to be very. It's something very specific, and the role of it is very specific, and it has to be certain things for the people who will want the thing.
Because you don't want to make them dissatisfied.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a different thing when it's like something that hasn't existed. It's like the Paranoia book, where if there's an existing fan base, they have opinions and expectations about things.
You know, I mean, it is disappointing when you have an idea in your head of something that's been fairly well established, like when you're talking about Valerian or... Like
yeah.
Star Wars, when they brought, what was it, Ahsoka. Like, some of the characters, like, were very far off from their origins. Like, I felt Hera in Rebels was nothing like Hera in...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ahsoka.
Yeah, and you might end up liking one or the other better, but it feels weird when they don't feel like the same character, you know? So, yeah, there's definitely a big element of that. And then there's also people who just like are stupid. Like I saw there were people who like didn't understand that it was a miniatures game. It was like, it says on the book that it's a miniatures game. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a miniatures game? I didn't hear that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was like Board Game Geek. Whenever there's something stupid, it's usually off Board Game Geek. But yeah, I think people didn't understand because Bodifis had also done a Paranoia board game, which I know nothing about. I can't stockpile any more board games right now, so I just didn't get a copy. Buy a copy. But that's actually where like the miniatures came from, because they have them made for that, and then I guess they just wanted to get like a little more bang for the buck.
Yeah,
plus,
why not?
Plus people probably don't buy like extra miniatures for their board games, but for a minis game, you want to have people buying stuff.
Since you're not part of the Facebook group anymore, you don't know, but Planet Fall has definitely exploded. No one has been clamoring for the books quite as much as they have been for Planetfall, and the people like, where is it? I can't even find it. Where can I buy it? And the people's like, it's not even out yet.
luckily, it's a lot better for my like mental well-being to not see all this stuff. Because I can't do anything about it anyway. And two, I think it's well known by now that the Overlord's shipping predictions are often optimistic.
Yeah, but it actually hasn't even hit their prediction yet. So we're ahead of schedule for failure. You know.
Yeah. It might be the first one that's like, you know, right on target. I feel like this is one of the things where like the veterans like have it because like 5 Parsecs launched like during COVID, so everything was terrible. So people were like, well, if the book arrives in the next like 7 years, that's fine. That's fine. Like nothing else is working right now either. So, you know, it was a different time. But yeah, I think that's all we kind of have for today. So you got a little bit of industry gossip, some movie chatter. You can go make a dinosaur game, so I can go to your house and play the game.
Boot.
Yeah, there is, I think it's a Pay What You Want called Eat Hitler, which is amazing. It is, I always forget the guy's name, but he's a really cool dude. It's like a mini game. It's very short. It's basically Hitler escapes from like the Nazi bunker in Berlin, but him and Eva Braun and his henchmen all end up in like the Jurassic period. And you play as dinosaurs trying to eat as many Nazis as possible.
It's a pretty great game.
Yeah, it's very aspirational. Not vegan friendly, however. You know, you're going to have to make some exceptions. But Hitler was vegetarian, so I think eating him counts as being vegetarian as well.
I've heard people say that, yeah.
Yeah. So, go download Eat Hitler and play that.
Perfect. Well, then that wraps up episode 32. All done. Yeah. Hearts and explosions.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye.
This episode of Bad Internet Friends was streamed live on YouTube and Twitch. There is a North American-friendly live stream every second Wednesday of the month, and a European-friendly live stream every fourth Monday of the month.